Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Paula Slier is the founder and CEO of NewsHound Media International. She is, I believe you're in Moscow at the moment. Paula, good morning.
Good morning, yes. I arrived a couple of hours ago.
All right, so thanks for talking to us. I know what it is to travel and then immediately get onto an interview. It's not easy. Thanks for doing that. We wanted to get a sense from you about the reporting on this crisis, because it is so, there is such a disparate style and there's so many different ways that this is being communicated. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
I think it was inevitable. In the years that I've been a journalist, particularly reporting on conflicts, I've watched the evolution of the media grow. So, for example, back in 2005, when you had the, I think it was 2005 or 2006, when you had the Lebanon war between Israel and Hezbollah, It was really unsophisticated. I remember going to the Matula border in northern Israel, being able to talk to Israeli soldiers as they crossed through. There was no kind of control. Now, just I'm coming to your question, but just for example, if you look at the way it works in Israel, there's a Twitter account. Hamas has a Twitter account. The IDF has a Twitter account. Everything is so controlled. And I think there's a general recognition that battles are not fought only on the ground. They're also fought in the media. So it's inevitable what's happened. I report for a channel, RT Russia Today, which has already been taken off. It's been taken off most of Europe, from what I understand, Australia, Canada. I think it's still available in South Africa.
It is.
But it's on the understanding or the argument that Putin, the Russian president, is fighting an information war as well as a war on the ground. And the argument against RT is that it's stirring confusion and it's using falsifications to justify the war. Now, my sense, I work for a channel. Everybody works for a channel. There's no such thing as, I don't think, an independent channel. And maybe there is, but I'm not sure 100%.
I
agree. My responsibility is as a journalist. So as long as the stories I do are full of integrity, as long as I can stand up to my stories and say I reported to the best of my ability what I saw and what I felt is accurate, then I'm answering to myself and to the viewers and to the readers. In terms of what the channel as at large does, it's difficult for me to assess. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody who works for RT supports Putin. Many of us see our job as journalists and not necessarily as people who are out there saying Putin is right. I would argue that there is a place for RT because there is a place for people to hear what is the Russian perspective on this war and how Russia justifies it and what Russia's doing. And I think it's unfortunate that the minute you ban one network, you kind of, it's a slippery slope in terms of freedom of speech. It is something that is difficult. And I think this is going to be, moving forward, the reason why I gave you the context of what about Israel is I think more and more focus is now going to come in battles on what's happening in the airwaves, particularly when we go to artificial intelligence, particularly as the battles themselves become more sophisticated. We are going to have to learn what is online battles and how to deal with them. And I think just banning a channel is not necessarily the way we're going to be able to deal with it going forward in the future.
And I happen to agree with that, because it was something that I find problematic might not be something that somebody else does. So where does that, in either extreme, it's easy. The extremes are always easy and always simple. But when you get to the blurred areas, that's where things become a little bit more complicated. I was talking to listeners a little bit earlier, and I suggested that there has been, to some extent, a miscalculation on Russia media's side, in that the type of reporting has still been quite, maybe old-fashioned, in that there's this great separation between government entities and the people of the country. Whereas if you look at the reporting on the Ukrainian side, it's much more personal and it's much more emotive and it's much more direct. It's a communication direct to the people to people who are listening to it or viewing it. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's an interesting observation. I hadn't actually made that kind of observation myself. I have a few ideas just to share with you. The first one is that the Russian media is limited in terms of what it can report, and actually so is the Ukrainian media in terms of reality on the ground. I reported from the last war, which was 8 years ago, in Ukraine. And because I managed to get into Western Ukraine, which is the part of Ukraine that doesn't support Russia by and large, I had a banning order slapped on me for 5 years. So I haven't been able to return to Ukraine, and I still have 2 years to go. My point is that even if I was able to go, but even if I was able to go to Ukraine, my life is at risk if I go to parts of Ukraine that don't support Russia. Again, back to that information war. But I have to point out the same would be this, would true for the other side. If you had a Ukrainian team that was supported in the part of Ukraine, the eastern Ukraine that supports Russia, their lives would be at risk as well. So it also begs the question about how objective as journalists we can be, because the reality on the ground is that we're seen as part of this war and we're limited in terms of where we can report. So, and I think that's unfortunate, because when I was in eastern Ukraine last war, when, and again, that's the part that supports Putin, the stories of people there are real. The stories there are that from, and again, part of Putin's justification for this war is that for the past 8 years, people living in that part of Ukraine have been subjected to attacks from the Ukrainian military. And when you go there and you interview the people, that is their experience. It's unfortunate that not enough of those real stories are making it into the Western media, because again, their journalists are not allowed to go there. And a lot of that is making it into the Russian media. But in terms of what you're saying as a disconnect, I don't know. I mean, I know that the way I was trained as a journalist and the way that I've always done my reporting is to look for the human story. When you tell people that 60 people died, you know, but when you tell them the story of one of those people who died, it hits home so much more, and it becomes so much more real than just a figure of 60. So you capture people with the emotion of one person. Maybe part of your observation could be that I can tell you that as RT, we are facing very real difficulties. The Russian military isn't allowing too many journalists, or any journalists, as far as I know, to embed with them. So again, we haven't been able to go into the parts of Ukraine where there is the real fighting, because essentially our lives would be at risk. And the parts where the Russian military allows us to go don't have that much, you know, eastern Ukraine, which was Putin's justification for this war, there's not too much battles happening there. The Russian army crossed over, fought a little bit in that area, and then proceeded to go towards Kiev. So there's not enough of the stories happening there. But again, maybe your observation, Howard, to be fair, is also Russian media has evolved from the Soviet times. And maybe what you're witnessing is more kind of style that is a hangover from the Soviet media than it is from the Western media.
Well, in fact, so my point is more about how government itself communicates. So when you've got Zelensky talking directly to people, that's very, very personal. And it's it's easy to connect to. When Putin talks, or his representatives talk, there's very little connection between them. It's not a direct a conversation. It almost puts people into the third person, and government into the third person. It's quite
I think it's a cultural thing. I mean, I just think it's a cultural thing. You know, previous Ukrainian presidents fled the country. You know, Zelensky has really become a hero for many in this war, and you know, especially when he puts on his soldier uniform and he hides in the bunker with his wife and his two young kids.
Absolutely.
But I'm not sure that that was necessarily a coordinated thinking on behalf of the Ukrainian government. I think that's very much his personality, and I have seen interviews where people in Ukraine have said, wow, he's risen to the occasion, and they're very impressed with him, and these are people who didn't support him in the previous elections. So
right,
I think
in fact,
he has surprised
his rating
many.
I think went from 30 something certainly during the coronavirus period up to 91% at the moment, which kind of makes sense.
I mean, I can tell you a funny story about Putin that's unrelated to this war, but again, I was in touch with the Russian crew, particularly the Russian cameraman who filmed when Putin visited South Africa. And he said it was hilarious watching Putin, and at that time it was President Zuma, meet with Zuma in a ceremony, because you had President Putin and all the Russian entourage and their suits and ties and their stoic faces. And then you had traditional African dancers that were without tops, that, you know, that were dancing in traditional Zulu dancing, and he said it was really, really funny for them because it was two completely contrasting scenes. And so my answer to you is that I just think it's different cultures.
Mm. And you're probably right. Before I let you go, the Russia Today banning around Europe and many parts of the world, that obviously puts you in a very, very difficult position. What happens now? How do you continue to report and to get your tell your stories?
It does put me in a difficult situation. And if I told you I wasn't conflicted, I would be lying. I think if people are sensitive to the position that those of us who work for RT are in, people would be sensitive that it's not so easy that one just gets up and resigns.
Absolutely.
I've been with the channel for 15 years, and the motivation over the years has been that there is always room for another point of view. I think the important thing I want to say, and that's why I appreciate the question and the opportunity to talk to you, so thank you for that, is that by working for RT, I'm not unequivocally supporting President Putin. I'm not saying I'm hanging in there with RT because I think Russia's right. I think what I think about his actions is irrelevant. I'm hanging in there because I support the idea of plurality of opinions in the media. I do think it's useful for Western audiences to understand what the Russians are thinking in their own language. You know, a lot of us don't speak Russian, so how will we know what Putin says? We rely then on a few people who report in the Western press. Here on RT, there is an opportunity for a whole range of people. Granted, they're going to be people who support the perspective of the Russian government, but it's an opportunity for audiences to understand how the Russian government justifies its actions. And I think that's valuable. I don't think it means I support necessarily the actions of the Russian government, but again, I support the idea that we need to have different opinions out there, and that we need to be careful that when we ban a channel, it creates some kind of precedent. Again, it is a difficult situation for me. It's something that's constantly on my mind. It's something that I'm debating with and struggling with. So it's not easy for me. But again, at the moment where I am and how I feel at the moment is exactly how I explained to you.
And you did very, very well. I think you put your point. I think you put your point across brilliantly, Paula Slier. Thank you for a very, very open and real discussion. I think no doubt it gives listeners and certainly myself a lot to think about. Paula Slier, founder and CEO of NewsHound Media International, talking to us directly from Moscow.